Welcome back, everyone, to Lifelong Learners Collective. We're a podcast and a community full of entrepreneurs and dream chasers with open minds who are always learning. Here with us today, I have Kimberly Stone. Kimberly is a PR genius. She is the founder of Posh Glam and Chat for Charity. Kimberly, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, and I welcome any questions or ideas that you have.
Thanks so much. Well, to start off the show, give everyone an introduction to yourself and your background and your journey as an entrepreneur.
Well, my name is Kimberly Stone. My official byline as a journalist is Kimberly E. Stone. And I'm more of like a social media journalist here in the space. I utilize tools such as like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all the social media channels to survey the web and interact with people online to get the news out. And I basically started Posh Glam in 2005 and spent a great deal of time working with people around the world to grow our following and to represent the different fashion cities in the world, from London to New York to Los Angeles to Miami to Shanghai, Milan, Paris, and 147 countries. So it's been a really exciting time for me. And now Posh Glam is transitioning into a luxury social commerce platform marketplace for social interaction. And what we have as of right now is a platform that we've started the process of like introducing the social shopping with our investor demo, and we're raising $50 million to scale and grow our market share.
That's amazing. So you have traveled to everywhere on my bucket list.
Well, I didn't travel. I just c connected with people there. I just had freelancers on the
Oh,
ground.
amazing.
And yeah, I hope to travel soon, more places. But ultimately, I feel like having those people in the different countries had a great deal of like a great deal to do with the culture of Posh Glam, which is very inclusive, and we cater to everyone, not leaving anyone out. And the world of fashion is so diverse, and it's very multifaceted, but it's very small. So at one point in time, I was basically interacting with the entire fashion industry at once, getting like 200 tickets a season to Fashion Week, things of that nature. And it also helped that I was a model because of the personal brand aspect of it. So I've really enjoyed Posh Glam a lot, and I hope to make it a family brand that I can pass down to my kids one day. And I hope that it will continue to be something people are excited about.
Well, tell us about your journey as a journalist and a model. So you have been very familiar with traditional forms of medium, and you're kind of evolving with the times and providing online spaces for people to communicate with each other and also to get the news. Tell us what inspired that aspect of the journey.
Well, I was always an avid magazine reader, especially as a young lady. I spent a lot of time, picking up, like, I went from like YM to Marie Claire to Vogue to Harper's Bazaar to Mademoiselle, all the major mags. And they're in my archives as we speak. But, I just recently gave an old YM to my friend's daughter just so she could see how advertising had changed so much. But I feel like it was a natural thing for me because I read other editors and it was time for me to contribute. At 22, it was time for me to start contributing and like showing that my voice had to be heard in the media space. And, getting to know the people that are so excited about fashion and media and tech and such and where it converges. And our promise for Posh Glam now is to have an e-commerce social marketplace. But I think as we start to grow that space, we have some learning to do and some understanding to do about how the ecosystem has changed. Because ultimately, With these channels, like a lot of the fashion, the channels are into fashion because it's lucrative. And now luxury is becoming such a big deal. When I first started consulting for luxury, people weren't really looking to hear who these luxury trendsetters, like what about like the actual influencers and the people that actually, blaze a trail for everyone else. And I feel like when I first started consulting for luxury, it wasn't as big of a deal to even know what was going on in the space. And it wasn't as big of a deal to even like care about like how like online when there just wasn't much news about luxury. And when I realized what a big deal it is nowadays, it's a testament to how things are, have changed and how much the consumer is online. Because the luxury consumer is online, comparing and contrasting. Most of the stores have e-commerce now. And China's a big influencer of like luxury adaptation as well, because after they got a surge in after COVID, they started patronizing luxury stores even more. And I feel like, there's even American luxury like Brahmin, and that's something that fascinates me, the Brahmin handbag company that, is an American-made luxury brand. And I think I would hope that with Posh Glam, I would keep the company very familiar to me and the family, and being very like something that I can work on my entire life and become an old lady in the fashion industry,
And with luxury pieces, you talk about luxury marketing. Something that I recently learned is a lot of luxury pieces that you buy are actually investment pieces. We're taught when we're shopping that clothes, they're going to go out of style, they're going to do this, throw them away. But some of these pieces that you buy in the luxury brands across the other countries, people can buy and pass down as legacies in their family. What are some of your favorite luxury brands for yourself? And you mentioned Brahmin.
Well, I'm familiar with Brahmin. They're really sweet to me when I was doing editorial like research on them. And then like I like the way that Prada is doing, like they have a black bag that I'm in love with right now. And then like I like all of them. Burberry, Prada, Gucci, Louis Vuitton, Chanel. Chanel, I love the
Chanel.
way Chanel is able to up their prices every year. And like they're what they've done in Dakar with their fashion show in Africa. I thought that was really forward. I don't have favorites. I don't pick favorites. Like, you know what I mean? Mama doesn't have any favorites. She just likes them all. But I feel like, looking at the different ways that they're interpreted and inspired by one another, it's no longer the full page ad and the glossies though, which is what really gets me. They're bringing their consumers in through like their own channels and of social or pretty much just relying upon online news. I mean the glossies are gone. It's so unfortunate. I'm a model, so I'm always so sad that I can't like have my agent contact them and be like, Kimberly wants tear sheets and get me some tear sheets, but they're gone. They're long gone. And like a lot of people are having to cope with that and deal with the fact that it's just not the same anymore. It's so turnkey. It's so, people want instant gratification with the internet, and like trends start so quickly. And we're hoping with Posh Glam to tap into that, to have the brands come on the site and have a presence and interact with their customers and like have an online mall of sorts with social, like not really like the mall.com or like whatever came out years ago, but something more so like getting the luxury brands in one place to socialize like a watering hole and getting them excited about their customers online and interacting with them without feeling so mass marketed amongst garbage. You know what I mean?
Are there trends that you're familiar with in being able to differentiate the luxury brands versus the what we call the fast fashion, the Sheins, the Temus? You're seeing a lot online nowadays. What are some tactics that you want to share with us how you differentiate how you set the luxury branding apart from the everyday wear?
Well, there's a differentiation. I mean, obviously, the lower caliber high street companies are going to want to appeal to the same market because you can get more for your money. And if you can appeal that market, then you can almost exist in a space all your own. But there are not that many luxury brands. They're like, what is it? The LVMH of the LVMH, which would be like the house for a lot, most of them. And then, the ones that existed outside of that being Chanel or Prada or like David Yurman, et cetera. I don't think they even exist in the same space. You have like couturier, then you have ready to wear, then you have like high street. So I feel like the high street customer is going to always be there. And the luxury customer will always be there. There's just a different amount, there's a different sense of loyalty. I mean, your closet consists of so many things. You know what I mean? Like, you may have that one handbag that you get for Christmas for the average middle class person. That one handbag you get for Christmas, and then like you style it with everything else. So it may be like, the high street may come in at that point, but or maybe more than maybe you work really hard and you're an attorney or a doctor and you can afford these more expensive bags that you can buy on a seasonal basis. Well, that's something a little bit different because then maybe you can afford the garments too, which are a lot of times, what people really vie for. My concern is mainly, can people really hang on to the newness of it with all these resale sites, which is an idea I had early on. The resale thing was an idea I came up with where you take the stuff and you sell it for people on a luxury caliber. But I mean, that trickled down to like some of the other sites like The RealReal and what else is there? Like Trendsea, I think there is. So I just think if it is, a lot of times luxury can retain its value. That's one test. Luxury should be able to retain its value, and then it's an heirloom piece or something you can resell. You know what I mean? In the markets.
That's awesome. I remember there was a TV show, I think it was on Style, and it was about a store in St. Louis that would do consignment, but only for luxury pieces. And also at the same time, I had a good friend that was a manager at Coach in Nashville. And whenever somebody bought in a knockoff, which is a big thing in the fashion world, somebody bought in a knockoff, they had to destroy it.
Oh,
Like
wow.
they strategically know how to tell apart a real authentic luxury piece versus a fake one. So if a customer comes in and they want to sell a Louis Vuitton they bought in Chinatown, they inspect it and they go through it. They're like, not only are we not paying you for this, we're throwing this away.
And what company was this? What
This
company
was
was it?
I need to, let me look this up. It was in St. Louis. It was about a consignment store that sold luxury and it had its own TV show named after it. I wish I knew what the brand was. Consignment store designer.
Destroy it if it's a fake. Oh God.
Yeah, and the
And
same
what would
thing
the
with,
customer?
and they had to say, look, you brought it back in to be cleaned. It's not real.
Oh God. Yeah, that's crazy. And that's a sensitive topic, you know what I mean? Because so much artistry and design goes into these luxury bags. A lot of them are handmade. And they take their craft very seriously. It's something where the authenticity makes such a big difference. And I guess it's a humiliation to the person that brings in the bag, but they should have like looked for some key indicators that it was real. You know what I mean? Like the certification that comes with it, or the bag, or the different elements of the bag. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's not surprising.
And pass it off as your own, especially if they're not using the same materials.
Yeah, I know.
Imitation's flattery unless it's a poor imitation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, tell us about your upcoming projects and what you have down the pipeline.
Well, the next step is to fund the site. We've been raising capital for so many years and like bootstrapping and aggressively going after investors. And so we're lucky to exist during a time when there were like five major top fashion blogs. And we did really well when we were an international luxury blog. But now that we've transitioned to e-commerce with our investor demo, what we're having to raise the capital to redo everything and get offices and things of that nature. So it's bittersweet. You know what I mean? It's a time when I can look for good web developers and look for people that could really contribute to the team and give us that experience we're looking for. I initially like with the site we have now, it was a good way to just test the market and test and do like a demo, you know what I mean? But I think the expectations are a little bit more are higher for like posh glam. You know what I mean? The expectations are just so much higher for a site with the name and the cachet like that. And in the future, I hope to, just make the site dynamic and something we're really excited about. And something that people really want to flock to on an ongoing basis. And maybe look in the morning, look in the afternoon, look once more before bed and have friends. I want to make friends on Posh Glam. It's a social site now. So I hope when we scale it, people will be able to make friends and be able to interact and be able to really love their experience online with the brands and with other people there.
Well, so many people have a passion for fashion and want to find a space to be able to talk to it.
Yeah, and that's what we want to
That's what,
provide.
yes,
Yeah.
that is what you're
I mean,
providing.
and I think, it's not as dynamic as I'd want it to be right now, but there's always scalability. The site's in PHP, so that's something that you can build as a framework and make it better. So I just hope to get like the fashion girls of like Parsons and, Esmode and, Otis and Pride and FIT, get all these girls excited about Posh and Glam again. And I want it to fall in alignment with what they're learning in school. You know what I mean? So that we can encompass and quickly connect the fashion industry is our aim. We want to quickly connect the fashion industry.
What advice do you have for women who are wanting to? You've got what people would look at as a dream job, or you have a dream
Thank
career.
you.
You've built your own platform. Women who are
Thank
looking
you.
to model or break into the fashion world, what advice do you have?
Well, if you're looking to model, I would say the first thing you want to do is see what agents are in your town and see if they'll help you out by letting you test with their photographers. Or, they're really big on Instagram, I think, from what I know. Like, if you have a nice Instagram presence that's a modeling Instagram presence, you can build up your followers and send your link to the agencies, and they will take a look and like get you jobs, like even book you to do content on Instagram. So that's one thing you can do. If you're young, I would say just like see if you can go into development. Development starts at 13, and from there, by the time you're like 19, you should know where you stand in terms of like, hey, do I have a size 10 foot, or am I 5'9", or do I fit the mold for what agency I want to sign with? I mean, it's the industry is so diverse now. I mean, almost anyone can model from slice of life to runway to commercial to curb to what else? They even have like talent divisions for like photographers or like people, artists, you know what I mean? So I'm actually in the process of finding a new agent myself because I wasn't happy with my old agent. And when you wake up every morning, you're like, okay, my foot's a size 10, I'm 5'9", what's next? It's like get in the shower and get dressed and like do your makeup type of thing. But that's really what they look for is the whole sample size aspect of it. So like right now I'm a size 12, 14, And that's the sample size for plus models. So I have to find an agency with a curve division, which is like part of what I go through. And like, I haven't booked in a while because I have an agent send me out for work. I usually direct book. So it's not as much of a dream career as it's portrayed to be. I mean, I still, and in New York, you have to get your own clients. So when I went to New York in 2007 to scout agencies, I got an agent and you have to get your own clients in New York. And they tell you to give your agent a year, give your agent a whole year to book you. That's hard. Like, what do I do? Get a waitressing job, and that's enough money to pay the bills. So it was like my family was giving me money, things of that nature. You know what I mean? And like, I still had Posh Glam, I had clients for PR, which we haven't touched on. With PR, I just kind of like, I started Posh Glam PR first and foremost years ago to supplement Posh Glam. And then here recently, I started Daunt PR, but I mostly do strategy. Like, I'm like, from a PR standpoint, I work with somebody that gets me opportunities. And I do the strategy of like what publication to contact, what message to send out, things of that nature. So I think we're all little publicists and models just running around doing our thing nowadays. 'Cause like, it seems like everyone has some kind of production going on. You know what I mean? From like, learning communications one way is on the web and picking up books at Barnes and Noble. And then, all social media is public relations. So that's part of it. And then, like, taking pictures and that's modeling. Well, then there you go.
Absolutely. I love that social media is giving everyone a platform to kind of do what they want. So if you want to be in broadcasting, start a podcast. If you want to be a model, start with your Instagram, and you can basically go on Canva and create your own press kit and market yourself. It's insane. I graduated college, showing my age here, right before we had social media when I was in college. But right before social media took off to where it is today.
Yeah. Nice.
Well, tell us what's next for you and how we can support you and work with you.
Well, I just what's next is scaling Posh Glam. I'm raising capital. We're scaling the site. I'll be getting a new agent. You can follow me on Instagram though, Kimberly E. Stone, on my byline, or on Twitter, Kimberly E. Stone. I'm really active on Twitter because, like I said, I'm a social media journalist. I do a lot of microblogging on Twitter. Well, X, they call it X now. So I do a lot of microblogging on X. And I jump the hashtag to see what they are, and then I address it, and then I'll look at the news. I feel like I can predict David Mayer on World News Tonight every night because I'm on Twitter, like jumping hashtags and like clicking on the links and seeing what the hashtags mean on the right side of what's trending, and then all of a sudden I know it's going to be on World News Tonight. So I love doing that. It's like a hobby, like more than a hobby. I mean, you can make money doing tweets and blogs and all that stuff, and I know how to do it all, but I'm more microblogging and like contributing to the web is just so exciting to me because while I'm working on other things like launching, relaunching Posh Glam, I can kind of build my byline and like cover the news and, the unfortunate tragedies we've had in this world. You know what I mean? The recent news has been so bad since last year. And like, I just feel like it's so sad, but you have to stay on top of it to even know what's going on. You know what I mean?
It can be a lot to keep
Yeah.
up with, and especially in today's economy and everything, you work with other businesses, people are just like, I don't know what we're gonna do. It's an election year, things are down, but it is good to at least have an idea of what's going on in the world
Yeah, I feel like
and
you have to
talk
stay
on it
on
to
top of it. I
strategize.
mean, yeah, I mean, I would love to get into broadcasting down the road, but I haven't trained my voice yet. So, but I would love to get into broadcasting as like a fashion entertainment reporter or, pop culture, things of that nature, and delve in that way. But we'll see. I mean, my main initiative right now is raising capital for Posh Glam, and then from there, scaling the site and having offices. So that's what I want to do next.
I look forward to seeing the next chapter of Posh Glam and look forward to following more from you and hearing more.
Thank you. God bless you.